Jesus, you have taught us to focus on the things above, not below. Give us your wisdom and peace, that we may be faithful in this time of transition, trusting in you with all our hearts. Amen. Dear family, I want you to know that the Lord has a master plan for this transition that is coming up, and you don't need to panic, although the enemy would like to cause panic. Understand that God is in control. He elected a wonderful president who is a total genius and guided by the Holy Spirit. The Lord will provide a solution to the dollar crisis the New World Order would like to create to discredit and dethrone him. The only reason he has asked us to buy gold is that we have some desperately poor people in Nicaragua who rely on us for the most essential needs. He's going to bless these people even more than we have seen up to date. I believe that is why he's instructed us this way. Now, taking that into consideration, we've had several people who claim to be very wealthy from their financial decisions. And we also have the other end of the spectrum, the very poor on this channel. I want to assure the poor that the Lord has a plan to protect you. And I believe you are not going to get desperate. But I want to caution you who are wealthy and use the stock market to increase your personal wealth without substantially contributing to the kingdom of God and the poor. Your souls are in danger if you've neglected these in order to build your own personal kingdom. The Lord has left instruction for those who would accumulate and hoard worldly wealth, while other parts of the world are starving. For it is written, "Woe to those who add house to house and join field to field until there is no more room, so that you have to live alone in the midst of the land." In my ears the Lord of hosts has sworn, "Surely many houses shall become desolate, even great and fine ones, without occupants." That's Isaiah 59. He also gave us a parable, the rich man and Lazarus. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores, and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away, with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been set in place, so that those who want to go on from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." And other scriptures say, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much." So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. The Pharisees, who loved money, heard all this and were sneering at Jesus. He said to them, "You are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of others, but God knows your hearts. What people value highly is detestable in God's sight." That's Luke 16. So, heart dwellers, don't listen to financial prognosticators that are trying to fear you into buying something and their schemes. They have a personal interest making money. The potential here is for the heart dwellers to start thinking, oh, profit, make a killing, get rich, wow, a new car. This is all abhorrent to God. If you were using money just to line your nest, you stand a good chance of being left behind. Some of our heart dwellers have sought the Lord, and He's told them not to worry. He's covered them. And here's what one had to say. Over and over and over again, when I have specifically asked the Lord, my Remas have said, essentially, don't worry, I will take care of you. Even in an open vision I had, I was so worried about North Korea and every other problem in the world, and Jesus just told me to hold out your hands, and He turned the world upside down and filled my hands with what fell out, like turning over and shaking a piggy bank. The world is still His and everything in it. He is not going to abandon any of us. And that was the end of her quote. The Lord has taught heart dwellers to seek His counsel and even get Remas to confirm it. So you can't go wrong doing that. Someone else mentioned what is good for Claire in her position is not necessarily good for others. This is a wise heart dweller. This is correct. What the Lord wants from me because I'm taking care of several poor communities may not be the same for you. In the end, whether we have or do not have, we've been taught to discern for ourselves the will of God in each event in our lives, and He will never lead us astray. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll make your path straight. That's Proverbs 3, but the version that I have memorized. Dear ones, we're supposed to be steeped in the Lord and His needs, not following the ways of the world for our own personal gain. He has people who are in a position to supply to the very poor. They have worked and prepared and put themselves in a position where they're taking care of Jesus all over the world every day. Bravo to them, because they've learned one of the greatest secrets of life, and with their own hands are touching the body of Christ and the poor, that it is more blessed to give than to receive, and they have invested their talents wisely. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothing and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? And the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. That's Matthew 25. Now the Lord began to speak. Claire, I have told you before that this is a test. I want to reveal what is hidden in the hearts of my bride and my people. What better time to do it than when financial crisis is in the air? My darling brides, you who have chosen to rest in me have chosen wisely. You who I have entrusted with provision for the poor and have obeyed have also acted wisely. As wealth increases, you are setting your heart on me and my needs. This indeed is commendable. But for those who are thinking this is an opportunity to join house to house, woe to you, I say, for you have not provided for the day you will stand before me and make an accounting of what I have allowed you to earn. You have not accumulated this wealth on your own. I have protected you from many disasters, waiting to see just when your heart would turn from worldly gain, lands, property, gold, and silver, to me, and those I must endure the cries of each day as their children die of starvation. I have waited, and waited, and I am still waiting. Each day goes by and these children cry out, and I wait. It is written about you. They will throw their silver into the streets, and their gold will become an abhorrent thing. Their silver and gold will not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. They cannot satisfy their appetite, nor can they fill their stomachs, for their iniquity has become an occasion of stumbling. That's Ezekiel 7. What's the message here? You are accumulating wealth, but on the day I take my servants and faithful brides from the earth, your gold and silver will become worthless, and you will be so grieved you will not be able to stand the sight of it, for I have left you behind. And now you face the beast, and your wealth will be meaningless unless you take the mark. I am giving you a chance now to reform your lives. Stop living solely for yourself and your family, and consider my needs as well. It is not too late for you, but the day is coming when it will be too late, and you will be devastated by the consequences of your selfishness. To know me is to know my heart. To know my heart is to ache for the poor and those denied justice. On this occasion of looming change, the hearts of many have been exposed. I am giving you another chance to consider your ways and make the change to consider mine. Blessed are you who are faithful in the things of earth, for I will promote you to be faithful in those greater things. And that was the end of the Lord's message. I just want to add something here. Dear heart dwellers, please understand, I was once one of those who cared only for myself and my family. I was so selfish, but the Lord changed my heart. If he can change mine, he can certainly change yours. Just listen to his heart and do whatever he tells you. That's a quote from John 2:5. The Lord bless you, heart dwellers. Thank you for looking after us and our needs as we reach out to the poor in our community to cover theirs.